break, our last of the morning. We'll come back. Sid Fernando waiting in the wings. And I think we're on track for another crackling segment with Sid joining us. Let me, John, don't go anywhere. I got to take a picture with you and Hammer. We're back after this. We're at Santa Anita, and it's a good thing we got John. He was the only horseman that made an appearance this morning.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Beck on Sirius XM Radio.
Here in Pennsylvania, we're proud of our breeding program, the best in North America. But we're also proud to be leaders in this industry. The PA Horse Breeders Association is funding cutting-edge research at Penn Vet into equine health and safety. And we endorse the SAFE Act to help protect the most vulnerable horses. Plus, we're pleased to support the aftercare programs set up by our horsemen's groups. Just a few of the reasons why you should join us in Pennsylvania, the premier place to breed and race.
Who are you betting on? How about an app created specifically for horse racing? Naira Bets. We specialize in thundering hooves, fist pumping, and boosting your bankroll with robust weekly promotions and offer betting tips from actual horse racing experts. Bet all day and night, nationwide. Get the action and thrill of horse racing with Naira Bets. $200 deposit match with promo Steve200. Visit NairaBets.com for details.
The Ponds family's Country Life and Maryland Farms are the place for breeding and racing in the Mid-Atlantic. Country Life is nationally recognized for making stallions and curly stands, the Mid-Atlantic's leading first and second crop sires, Divining Rod by Tappan and Mosler by Warfront, as well as Friesian Fire. Maryland's 5/8 mile training track completes the full service facilities from the folding barn to the racetrack. Join the excitement of racing with Country Life Farm, where our partnerships can take you from beginning to winning.
Want to get your career in horse racing off to a fast start? Well, the University of Arizona's Racetrack Industry Program is your winning ticket. The Racetrack Industry Program has served as a springboard to some of the industry's most successful individuals. With a proven...
Want to know a secret? The Massachusetts Breeding Program pays huge bonuses for finishing first, second, or third at any racetrack in the country. You didn't know that, did you? Massbreds get paid up to an additional 25% of their purse earnings for the owner, and breeder, and stallion owner, and developer. It's the best-kept secret in racing, till now. Tell all your friends, and to learn more, visit massbreds.com.
Would you believe that champions weren't measured by rings, but by a crown? That the history books were written on dirt? That the greatest of all time was a horse.
He is moving like a tremendous machine.
Experience the magic at this year's Belmont Stakes as we honor the 50th anniversary of Secretariat's legendary Triple Crown Triumph. Join the celebration at Belmont Park on Saturday, June 10th. Tickets on sale now at BelmontStakes.com.
Sirius XM Sports presents At the Races with Steve Beck. Horse racing, handicapping, interviews. This is At the Races with Steve Beck.
We're back. A couple minutes into hour three here on Wednesday at the races. About, actually, 10 minutes in, because we just could not... I mean, how are we going to turn away from that visit with John Sheriffs? I mean, so many fun things to talk about: historic perspective, his own horses, in as part of a finalist for this year's Hall of Fame class, and then current conditions around the industry, and particularly the situation that horsemen are dealing with here. And it's a difficult situation, but they'll make the most of it. It'd be nice, you know, to some degree, though, if they could, you know, they were the ones, you know, allowed to make the decisions for the horses. That's their job. That's what they do. Sid Fernando is going to join us, and you know from listening to Dick Powell in hour one, Dick read and greatly appreciated, and he's not the only one. Sid's taking stock column in TDN. Good morning, Sid Fernando. Hold on. There we go. I can now. Try it again.
Can you hear me?
There we go. Gotcha.
Oh, no. Yeah, because I couldn't hear you before.
No, that's my fault. I'm sorry. All right.
Well, first off, I want to say that that hour with John Sheriffs was one of the best pieces of radio I've ever heard.
Well, thank you. It's all John. Whenever John comes, whenever he sits down, you're guaranteed to hear fascinating.
And I have to go back and listen to some of it, because while I was listening to it, the moment you brought up the Mayberries and then John told you, well, no, that was David and Gordo, you're not going to believe this. The moment he said, that's David and Gordo, I got a phone call from David.
That's great.
And I said, you just interrupted me from listening to your stepfather put up a clinic on the Steve Bick Show. And, you know, we're talking, and it's funny because, you know, I've done a little research in John before, you know, in terms of the Hall of Fame, and listen to these stats. John Sadler is 46 grade one wins from 16,000 starts.
Sadler or Sheriffs?
Sadler. 46 from 16,000. Clement has 37 from 11,800. Sheriffs is 38 from 3,000, and he's not in the Hall of Fame. It's the biggest joke I've ever heard about.
I couldn't help yesterday with Steve Crisp, you know, not to bring up David Whiteley, because it's a very similar style of professional, you know, horse training. Not a big barn, not huge statistics, and sadly, you know, we have this conversation very often as well when it comes to the Eclipse Awards. Very sadly, there's this need or this desire to just reward volume. Volume is nice. Quality should outweigh volume.
Exactly. And John, you guys, all three of you, man, Steve, you yourself were, you were fire, too.
Thank you.
You were fire.
Well, I mean, John, hearing a horseman of his renown and accomplishment, and you know, guy that is beyond reproach, when he lays out the frustration of having things dictated by people who do not, they think that they're representing the animal and they're protecting the, they're not protecting the animal. They're actually putting the animal in many cases in harm's way, and putting the horsemen, they're not helping them, allegedly making decisions for them. They're actually making their job harder to take care of the horse, and they're just, they seem oblivious to this and completely tone deaf, and they think, I mean, they're answering to some authority that doesn't pay a single bill, doesn't buy a single horse, and doesn't make a single bet.
There you go.
Who are we answering to?
There you go, Steve. All fired up again. And that's what was so great about that was, it was a really intelligent conversation, and I just love the way, John just approaches every question and just straightforwardly answers it in a very easy to digest way. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, he's so sharp and succinct. When you're, in this case, a radio host, you know, or a TV interviewer or whatever, you have to be ready. There's certain people who answer the question in one line.
Yeah.
and John is one of those. And so you have to be ready with a follow-up because he's going to surprise you with how abbreviated and succinct his answers are.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, speaking of being succinct, I don't know how much of this. I mean, if you want people to first to read the Taking Stock column, but I feel obliged. I mean, we can talk. We do have to talk about some horses, most notably some follow up to your client Dennis Albaugh's win at Oaklawn on Saturday. Sid, at first, give everybody a little bit of a capsulation. You've discussed it on the show off and on for, 3 years now. But
it's really something, Steve, that I've been researching for 3 years. I'm sure your listeners are aware that I'm, somebody who's very interested in legal issues. And, the problem we have in this business is that, and, they can't help it, but most of the people that cover, racing, when they have to talk about legal issues, they're out of their depth. They're completely out of their depth. They don't know what they're writing about. They're force-fed press releases, and, they just haven't thoroughly been able to digest or analyze something. But what I realized as I was researching this for 3 years is that the government was calling SGF 1000 a customized PED right from the inception in the original indictment of the 27 people, and subsequently have continued that narrative over and over again. However, what I always found curious about this is that by September of 2019, if you go through, I've studied more than 1,000 pages of court filings in this. When you go back and look at what they're saying in court filings versus what they say in press releases to garner attention and whatnot, is you have FBI agents saying they understand this was not a PED. You have labs in Hong Kong saying it's not a PED. You have this incredible situation in early June of 2019 when a service was under surveillance and they knew maximum security had been given SGF 1000 early June in a move that's out of a movie. You had this guy who was head of security for Goral, as well as New Jersey regulators, actually going into his stall, taking blood samples, and then this confidential source sent it to Hong Kong. He was working with the FBI. The blood samples, Hong Kong responded, contained no PEDs. So the thinking then was, hey, you know what? It's one of these Lance Armstrong things where you can't test it in the horse, but let's get the original substance and test it. So they obtained the SGF 1000 bottle. They send that to Hong Kong. Mind you, just to backtrack for a second, this had been tested repeatedly over the years with no PEDs. But they get this bottle, they send it to Hong Kong, and guess what? They never reveal the test results. People are wondering why. When I ran this by my wife, who's a criminal defense attorney, she said, well, if it's exculpatory material, they have to reveal it in discovery to the other side. And I said to her, well, it's not technically exculpatory here because the charges are not for doping. They're for misbranding and adulteration of a substance. Because it's misbranding and not doping, the government never had to release the results of that test that they actually took. On top of which, the government also knew the laboratories that were manufacturing the stuff, quote-unquote unregistered labs in California and Australia. Very easy to go to the labs, get the formulation, bing, bang, boom, this is what's in it. They knew that. They didn't release that information. You know what else they knew? They knew that it was widespread use. They have all the trainers that were purchasing this product from Dr. Christian Rein. Dozens of them. Dozens upon dozens. Some of those trainers were training for some of the most elite owners in the country, including members of some of the most elite organizations, which I'm not going to name. It's an embarrassment, isn't it, to reveal that. The government never revealed that. That's an embarrassing anecdote. What they did was they finally hooked a misdemeanor charge on SGF 1000 on service. And when they finally put it out in a press release, and all the press releases prior to this, they've been talking about it as PED, PED, performance enhancing. When they finally put it out in the press release in December when he pleaded guilty to that misdemeanor, they did not include the words PED or performance enhancing in relation to SGF 1000. And so as you told me about what Dick Powell said, I appreciate that because it's true. This part of the story has never been told.
We lost it for a second here, Sid. I'm using Sid wanted me to call his second line because his other phone was dying. Lost the call. We'll get Sid back. There we go. Now we lost you for a second, Sid, and then the call dropped.
Oh, I'm sorry.
That's right.
Yeah. So anyway, the bottom line is, Steve, they've never released the results of their test. They've never released the ingredients that were made that went into the making of this product from the unregistered facilities. Based on all the standing facts, this is not a PED. Now, that's an unpopular opinion, but it's something that the journalistic core in this country that covers racing, they're not prepared to digest this information. They have, unfortunately, they're tasked with reporting, but they're fed just press releases, and there's no independent thinking about this. And that's basically why I felt I had to write this piece to explain what the situation was.
And there's been plenty of speculation or at least conversation about this part of it, and at the same time there's the hard to quantify or hard to explain jump up performances and the things that specifically tainted and painted a Navarro and I won't
speak. Okay, so on that matter, let me be very specific.
Yeah.
I'm only talking about SGF 1000.
I understand.
I'm not talking about any of the substances Navarro used because they happen to be PEDs. When the government charges with misbranding and adulteration, that's a federal charge. That's on the statute. It just so happened that all the PEDs associated with Navarro were PEDs, and the government had a right to say that. However, in the matter of just specifically SGF-1000,
right.
You know, I wasn't writing in defense of service. I'm not writing in defense of anybody here, except this one particular issue, SGF-1000. And it doesn't hold up to the scrutiny when you put a flashlight on it in comparison to what the government has been saying about it, just like it was talking about all the drugs Navarro used, which they completely documented as being PEDs.
And basically, everyone's been allowed to infer or invited to infer.
Exactly, yes, because it's all part of the government's case of a big doping scheme. And so let's just throw in SGF-1002, which they probably thought it was in the beginning. However, once they started testing it and found out, they were under no obligation to reveal those tests because the federal charge of misbranding and adulteration has no bearing on if that stuff, misbranded product, was a PED or not.
And I do recall it, some either reporting or might have been lifted out of testimony or whatever, that if individuals are utilizing a product with the thought that it's a enhancement, whether the actual product is an enhancement is immaterial.
No, that's absolutely correct. And again, my column has not anything to do with intent of anybody using it or no.
Right.
It's the actual substance. Now, what we know is tons of people were using it.
Yep.
And they didn't think it was a PED.
No.
Okay?
No.
But again, that's immaterial as well. As immaterial for me as if somebody thought it was or not. I was just curious about why the government never said this is a PED with test results. This is what we found. You know, with Navarro, there's Epigen. There's customized analgesics. There's red acid. You know, here in this particular case, they kept it silent and just kind of tacked it on to the general PED scheme, so to speak. And of course, that's what the journalists all wrote about. You know, how many times have you heard the phrase, even in TDN, you know, a server's accused of his go-to juicing of SGF-1000 or whatever, you know. It's all, my piece was just to find out, is this thing a PED or not? It's not about a defense of anybody. It's not about intent. It's just the actual substance.
Well, everybody is invited to read it in the TDN, and I've had three specific reactions, a couple of owners and Dick Powell that appreciated what you brought to this and you know the effort you put into.
Well, it was a withering process even to get it into the paper, to tell you the truth. You know, Sue Finley's the publisher of TDN. I've got a great amount of respect for her. And even having said that, you know, I had to water it down considerably. I had to take some stuff out because, you know, they had their lawyer looking at it. They had Bill Finley looking at it. So, you know, and then, of course, when it came out, it got stuck in the back of the book, you know, buried. And, you know, listen, I have a lot of respect for TDN. I have a lot of respect for Sue. But to me, you know, I spent 3 years of meticulous research on this. And ultimately, Steve, you know, after this happened, in fact, I just told Sue this morning, I'm resigning from writing a column in TDN from here on in because of the process that I went through to just even get this in. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And yeah. So no hard feelings whatsoever. It's, you know, writers and editors and publishers have editorial differences. But it's a case sort of as if I'd made a movie and the studio decides to chop it up a different way. And so, you know, I have the director's cut, but that's not what's, you know, I still got my point across in this thing, but, you know, I wasn't happy with the process. So, you know, I won't be writing in TDN.
Well, much like everything else you do, in regards to the integrity and you know, earnestness, I you know, applaud your approach to everything on that front. Said you're not one to be countermanded.
No, I'm not. It's like Cynthia, my wife, said, look, you're a maverick, and you're not some kid out of journalism school. You know what I'm saying?
You're not a dilettante.
Yeah, and you know what I'm saying? I got my own job anyway, and you know, it's one of those things. It happens, and you know, I spent the last 5 years writing for TDN. I really enjoyed it. Really did it more for fun and for Sue. Sue had asked me for years to, you know, write for her. And then when she finally took over, you know, about 5 years ago, you know, I came aboard and I've enjoyed the whole thing. But like I said, bro, you know, I spent three years researching this thing. You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
Yeah, and it's a very unpopular viewpoint to put out there, because it's already in everybody's mind about, you know, what they think from the fans, who are not going to be critical of anything except for what they want to believe. The industry professionals, bro, that have bought into this, you know, Heiza coming to the rescue, you know, Five Stones, intelligence, FBI, and this is how we run this show type of thing. But, you know, anybody who has an ounce of knowledge about how this stuff works understands that, you know, these organizations like the Justice Department or the FBI, you know, they are within their bounds not to have to reveal stuff because of the way charges are structured.
So the complete picture, in other words, was
never
authentically presented. That's the bottom line. Well, we'll let people read and make their own determinations.
Exactly. Yeah.
Sid Fernando with us, and it's Sire Watch Pedigree Focus, brought to you by Hill and Dale. And Sid, I've stood there at Oaklawn, and I, like the week before, we were when it came to the Keith DeSormo, not the DeSormo winner, but when it came to the Albaugh horse that you had
Angel
laid out,
of Empire,
Angel,
of course. Yeah.
Angel of Empire, and you know, we come through another weekend, this time at Oaklawn, and you know, here's another modest purchase, and it's very encouraging. First of all, it's encouraging that an operation like Albaugh is.
Well, this one was an Albaugh.
No, I know.
Yeah,
but what I'm alluding to is that he's willing to take on a minor purchase, and
yeah,
you know, here's a big operation that spends you know, big six figures, but
yeah,
you can end up having, you know, having success with a $70,000 purchase. Here's a horse, a different kind of a group that is, you know, ostensibly, you know, hoping to get lucky and have a good horse. And Keith DeSormo is grinds these out, it seems, every winter, every spring. And here's, you know, here's a horse out of, in fact, I should have brought up, you know what, I missed an opportunity, I'm realizing, that winner at Oaklawn is out of a Bleu Isson, the Zenyatta sister, that and Sheriff's trained the sister as well. And
exactly.
I mean, what this is a candy ride out of a Zenyatta sibling, and somehow he scoops this horse up for nothing.
Well, you know, again, unlike, say, Angel of Empire, who was by a young stallion, not proven, classic Empire, you can understand the cheaper price for a horse like that. When you're talking about a candy ride out of Zenyatta's half-sister selling for $25,000, it's pretty obvious there were some issues with the horse. In this case, there were issues that were on the sales x-rays. You know, it's ironic, and I had a tweet about this. Summerwind bred this horse. Summerwind also bred a horse we got for recommended to our clients, the West, Game Winner, also by Candy Ride, who had issues too and only sold for $110,000. He became a champion two-year-old. And Candy Ride himself, when he was a yearling in Argentina, failed to vet twice. You know, you're going to have some issues like this with some of the candy rides. And in the case of Game Winner, we've actually mentioned this on the show last week, this nick between Candy Ride and AP Indy. Game Winner's out of a AP Indy mare. The horse that just won for DeSormo, is by Candy Ride out of a Bernardini mare by AP Indy. We've talked about this.
Yep.
The horse that ran second, Red Rat 1, is by Gunrunner, son of Candy Ride, out of a Tappet mare. You know, it's also a really great cross, too. And, you know, in this case, they bought the horse for $25,000. Whatever it had in the x-rays was not going to stop this horse from progressing. And it's so funny you mentioned the Mayberries, because I'm headed to visit April Mayberry next week. She actually broke this horse.
Right.
And he never missed a day on the farm. And you were curious about the Mayberries purchasing CRK's horses?
Yeah.
Well, that's David and Gordo, as
right.
John Scherz told you. And all of David and Gordo's horses also go to Mayberries to be broken.
Right. There you go.
You know, and not only that, but even Rich Strike last year, the Derby winner, was broken at Mayberries as well.
Amazing.
So I'm taking a trip out there to talk to April Mayberry and spend some hours with her. I want to ask her more about this colt too.
Well, there's so many things about this that just are stunning. And when you think back to the sister of Zenyatta, and there's so much of what we talk about when you think about Vertigano, the dam of both Zenyatta and the Bleu Isson and the rest of those siblings. She's a daughter of Chris S. So there's the turf that we talk about, you know, the turf equaling stamina. Then you go back to the third dam, Forley Dam for the Flag, and there was the Hoist the Flag mare in the offing. There's a ton of stamina there. And here's a horse that, you know, is seemingly only going to get better. In fact, all three of those horses should all excel when we get to a mile and an eighth and a mile and a quarter.
Well, you know, Candy Ride is a stallion that was a brilliantly fast miler in Argentina, undefeated, stood at John Sicura's farm initially. When he came here, he extended his distance to a mile and a quarter when he beat Medaglia d'Oro in that Pacific Classic in insane time, I think 159.11. He will give you horses that can stay when bred right.
especially when you're combining them with, you know, the AP Indy line that gives you that. And in, as you pointed out, in this case, it's plenty of stamina. You saw it in Zenyatta herself, right?
Yeah.
Hit Show for the West, for example, who won the Withers. He's a horse I think is going to love 10 furlongs, you know. He's by Candy Ride, bred the same way out of a Tappet mare. Again, that Candy Ride AP Indy cross. And Candy Ride, actually, Candyman Rocket is showing more speed. Probably doesn't have as much stamina on the bottom, but he's come up with, three really good colts right now in the mix for these classics. And, of course, don't forget, he's the sire of Gunrunner, Horse of the Year, winner at a mile and a quarter, you know?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, it's going to be a very productive top three at the very least, coming out of that Rebel. Red Route 1, you referenced him and the same cross where, you know, Candy Ride on the top and AP Indy a couple of times removed via Pulpit and Tappet.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Here's Chris S., by the way, again. We should note, right? Red Route 1's dam, Red House, her first dam, Fun House, the prized mare, prized the son of Chris S. So here he is again.
And I was actually chuckling to myself when I looked at that pedigree 5 days ago, because if you trace the female line back, who do you end up with but Carol's Christmas, who's by Whitesburg, who we talked about
last week. That's right.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah. Now, that's that great Winchell family, by the way, of Olympio and all that. And that family has done so well with the Tappets. Now, that family helped to put Tappet on the board from the very beginning. It's a great Tappet family. It's a great family that works really well with Tappet. And, it's interesting that the family of Angel of Empire and Victory Formation also go back to a Whitesburg mare, which was that really good Whitesburg mare, White Jasmine. And Victory Formation is by, you know, a son of Tappet.
There, yeah, I'm just, you got me looking at... You got me looking at Carol's Christmas, obviously Olympio is the engine on that train, but there was also she also dropped a handful of females that turned around and got nice runners. Carol's Wonder, she was productive.
I think Untappable for them is in from this family.
Yeah. Pyro from this family.
And Pyro is a Pulpit, you know, the sire of Tappet.
Unbelievable. Vern Winchell, having just an unbelievable influence. And isn't that amazing, Sid? It's one of those things that we come back to so often. You know, the people that planted all kinds of redwoods, was never going to be around to see all the production, see all the fruits of the labor. But, you know, here's Sun Ron and the team that they put together, you know, seeing all kinds of protracted success. But it all starts, you know, with these early decisions and these early theories that, are coming to fruition, you know, generations later.
Yeah, I mean, everybody wants to hit a vein with a line of broodmares. That's the thing. You know, if you can hit that vein and then those daughters produce, their granddaughters produce, that's how these great families get formed. And sometimes, you know, it's blind luck in a way, because Vern Winchell had this whole Carol's Christmas family that was actually languishing. By the time he died and his son had taken over, of course, they had these mares and they had Tappet, so they started breeding them to Tappet, and boom, 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 they started popping.
Unbelievable.
Really regenerated the whole family again.
As John Sakura says, through the switch.
Through the switch, exactly. I love that term. John said that to me so many years ago. He said, you know, when you get to stallions, it's just a matter of which ones can throw that switch on, you know?
Exactly.
And I keep thinking about that. It's so true.
Well, and as Sid, before we wrap up, I should reference, I mean, we got a huge weekend between the Fountain of Youth and Forte coming back. Obviously, Blazing Sevens back in action, and they're the two headliners, obviously, in that fountain. But here at Santa Anita, we've got the San Felipe, which really actually has got a set of competitive horses. John Sheriff's with us, as you talked about, and I had to bring up Skinner. And here's a horse, a curling
colt. He's the horse I like.
Right? Doesn't he have a look in here?
Yeah, he's the horse that I like to win that race. He's a curling, he's coming. You know, John Sheriff's is conservative. He ran this horse in a grade one as a maiden in his second start as a maiden.
Yep.
Then he ran him back in a grade one in his third start as a maiden. This is a horse that David Engordo again purchased. And Engordo really likes this horse. And obviously, when he put him in the maiden special last time, this horse really rocked. I think as a curling, he's, you know, set for this race. It's a lot of speed with Hijazi and these other horses. I don't think Hijazi really wants to get a trip. And I think that it's going to set up really well for this horse with his running style to run him down. That's who I'd go with in that. In the Fountain of Youth, we've got two company horses. Of course, we're going to have to go with. One is the horse we did for breeder Tracy Farmer, and that's Blazing Sevens, a grade one winner by Good Magic last year. The other is a auction recommendation for Albaugh, which is Cyclone Mischief.
Well, and we hope that Cyclone Mischief snaps back. We're looking forward tomorrow and Friday to handicapping up and down these two cards, and their eyes are going to pop out of their head when they see a 14-horse Gotham drawn later today. So it's amazing how after 6 weeks of sort of not humdrum, I mean, there were some nice moments and some nice horses to celebrate, but it's you want to talk about throwing a switch? suddenly the spurs have been put to the racing nationwide with these two particular cards at Gulfstream and Santa Anita and Three Stakes. The Busher is going to come up good as well today. For the fillies, we should have a fabulous set of races to handicap and digest and bet on, and then recap next week.
Yeah, okay, great. I'll talk to you next week, bro.
Sid, well done. Thanks so much.
Okay. Cheers.
Sire Watch Pedigree Focus brought to you by Hill & Dale and Sid Fernando. I know Seth is probably listening. Seth, can we save you for tomorrow, and we'll get some handicapping from Seth Merrill, maybe even into the weekend, because we got just 10 minutes left, and Hammer's sitting listening in, and we do have to give everybody, after foreshadowing yesterday's activities, we really should on the back end include the Doug O'Neill, and I'm waiting for a figure to come up. I didn't bring this horse up yet with Sid. We'll wait. Henry Q, the Blame Colt, a Hertrick and Fielding product that won that Mind That Bird Derby yesterday, 14 3/4 lengths. And we were there with Doug and Mark Verge, and then the partners calling in that included a couple of fairly prominent college coaches.
Yeah, you know what? We'll get Doug on tomorrow. We'll let him tell that part of the story sure. But I hope Sid is just laying his pen down and not his vocal cord. He's still going to come out with you.
This continues to be his exclusive outlet. Yes,
and that's good. Big Cap, I want to lighten things up just a tad.
Yeah,
just a little Big Cap story. A little side thing we mentioned yesterday. 2015, I think we ran a 13-horse field. Shared Belief was the favorite, overwhelming favorite, went on to victory. But there was a horse in there called Crimson Giant.
Yeah.
Owned by Brian Carney, one of the nicest people you'll ever want to know. Has horses on and off, you know, some run better than others. And his dream was to run in the Sanity Handicap. Charlie Stutz is his trainer. Charlie sure. Stutz has been around for 100 years.
You use that
100 years. And Brian also owns owned a Lombard corner up here called the 101 Club, which was just the perfect type of bar. You know, open in the morning if you wanted to do
a
that.
A bracer.
You wanted a bracer. And actually, one of the first times I got here, I think, to 2020, I said to the crew, all right, we're going to the 101. And everybody looked at it like, what are you talking about? So I got one, I'm not going to say who, person to go with me. Went over there, so we're going to do a shot of tequila, and we'll go back and take entries. And I went over, and the one person I brought over didn't drink, and he was nervous as could be. He was like, oh, my God. So we went over there. Anyway, 9 o'clock in the morning, whatever, we took a shot of tequila, we came back, we did the deal. And so that's how I was introduced to the 101. But the 101 was more famous for later in the night. So, luckily, I didn't live around here, but after, if you went out for dinner or whatever, and hey, let's stop at the 101, and there was the karaoke deal. So, it was a lot of singing and a lot of stories the next morning about the 101 Club. So, lo and behold, Crimson Giant comes along, and I think he won an allowance race or something, and he says, you know what, I'm going into the
Big Cap.
The Big Cap. So, he ran in the Big Cap, he ran last. But he went off at, you guessed it, 101. And it's just one of those things you can't make up. I just, not 99 to 1, not 101 to 1, 100 to 1. So,
for the 100 to 1 club.
For the 100 to 1 club. So I just had to throw a little and then we were talking about that. I had to check the chart again last night because I was telling the story yesterday, and sure enough, he went off at, 100 to 1. So there you go.
I never walked in. It was there by the Santa Anita Motel, right?
The hotel you're staying in.
Yes, is that
it's on
right
the grounds
there.
Of the 101.
That's what I thought.
It's right at the corner up there. It's in a great location, yeah, and they had the little Santa Anita Inn there, which was, I guess if you over-karaoke'd, you could walk around the corner and get a room at the
or if you needed a room for 2-3 hours.
I don't know. I was not familiar with the area.
Johnny has talked about the sad downward spiral of the Santa Anita Inn.
Yeah.
But at one time, Johnny's in Hong Kong with his granddaughter, but he tells that story about wasn't he staying there about the dog, we got to get Johnny anyway back, but that. Crazy story involves the Santa Anita Inn.
You've talked to some of the guys. There's a lot of stories, and like I said, luckily I'm not involved in them because I didn't live around here, so I didn't have to take into that. But anyway, Santa Anita Inn. You mentioned 101. A lot of heads perk up. A lot of stories.
Yeah.
A lot of late match stories.
Yeah, but, always around.
But anyway, real quickly, yesterday we got you didn't get the 50-cent tour. You got the $5 tour yesterday.
Big time.
And like I said, we went to places where normal, we weren't looking at movie stars' homes, or we weren't looking at, the glitz and glamour of Hollywood. So we stocked up at Brent's Deli. I said, I'm going to take Steven some of the places I go to hike and see what he's talking about. So very close to my house is a trail. Rocky Peak, which is in Ventura County, and we did that. And then we took a little side road called Santa Susana Pass back. And on that road was the Iverson Ranch, which was a movie set where Roy Rogers, Gene Autry show, Zorro, Bonanza was shot there, Gunsmoke, tons of scenes of, Lone Ranger. You can get the Rocky rocks in the background. A little bit further down the same road, Susana Pass was Spawn Ranch, was also a movie ranch, and unfortunately was famous for other things, where the Manson family hung out.
Once Upon a Time in Hollywood focuses, there's that scene,
right?
Brad Pitt gives the girl the ride back to the ranch, and the movie ranch.
Right, and that's there.
It's
not there anymore, but
The
remnants are there, and then we did that, and we decided to take Topanga Canyon, one of the canyons, down to the highway, which we caught Malibu Canyon, which the official name is Las Virgenes, and hence the Las Virgenes Stakes, and hence the Malibu Stakes as well. So we went over Malibu Canyon, and it was a bright green, it's usually green this time of year, but not like that. And, the windy roads, we did a little Mulholland Drive. But just the beauty and the ruggedness
unbelievable.
Of to drive through Malibu Canyon, and you could be anywhere. You were 100 miles from Los Angeles or any big city. So we took the drive down to the canyon, and then we got to Pacific Coast Highway, and we went by Paradise Cove, where they filmed Rockford. The trailer's not there anymore, but that's down below there, which is kind of a cool scene when the trailer was there. And went up. I showed him Zuma Beach, hence where we got the name of the Zuma Beach Steaks, and the Surfer Girl. There weren't many Surfer Girls out yesterday. The wind was...
Or
the
Surfer
wind,
Boys. Or it was, surfer it boys. Was rough.
And went to Westward Beach, was one of my favorite beaches, where they do a lot of movies. I told Steve to take a picture of the background, and you'll see they filmed Gidget there and all kinds of stuff. And just spent, you know, a few minutes just kind of looking out at the ocean and you know, seeing the birds fly around, and just that's Malibu. That's the calmness of the Malibu situation. Went back towards Santa Monica, and I said, you know what, let me make a U-turn here. Turned around and I said, he goes, where are we going? I go, we're going to go to this place. Well, we went to the Broad Street Oyster House.
And Oyster Company,
and I said, the line's not like 10 deep, we'll go here. Luckily, it wasn't. We had a little lobster roll, and fixed that up, and then we ended up continuing down the road, and then we'll continue the rest of the story when we have Doug here, and he can fill us in on where we ended up on a nice California beach house that... we lucked into, but things happen anyway.
Unbelievable.
The point is, hey, I'm glad to take anyone. I'll take the tour. That's my next deal, as a tour guide. But just to show that there are other things here, and you know, California does have a lot to offer when you get outside the city. So it's
nobody would question that, right?
But had a good run, and you got to do it in between. But you know, when I say I go for a hike, that's where you can picture now where I go. It's either the beach or Rocky Peak up there, and you know, in 10 minutes I'm away from the world. So it's a great little spot.
I had just an absolute fabulous time. What originally was billed as a 3-hour tour turned into 8 hours for those that were keeping track. It was amazing, and you know, I in advance of pulling out of here, you got me inspired to do this. There you go.
The Rockford.
Rocky.
Where's Angel? Stuart Margolin.
At the Deke House. At Colgate. Every afternoon, watching Rocky. It was... absolute.
It's the greatest.
Classic.
And we forgot MASH. We went by the MASH.
You told me about that. That was interesting. I'm not a huge MASH fan, but I mean, it was okay. I prefer the movie, but...
Right. But for those of you that are, we were close to that. Now, that's a park, and you got to walk in about 2 miles, but the original set is still there, and you can see that. It's up in the Agora Hill. So, it wasn't, like I said, we weren't going by movie stars' homes, but it's hard not... And when you're out here, it's hard not to drive by places where they shot movies. And, you know, for us that grew up here, it's just a place in the road. It's not a big deal. But movie, you know, people that didn't grow up around movie shooting all the time, it's very interesting. And actually, it's the old, when somebody comes to town, hey, let's go. Lots of stuff out there to see. And that was just, you know, one corner of the northern corner. And I'm lucky enough to live in that corner where I'm close to getting out. It's easy to get out, so a good rep. I think tomorrow we'll have some more.
Yeah, it'll be a little more. We couldn't have done better than we did today.
No,
anyway.
No,
thanks to John Sheriffs, obviously, for a fabulous hour plus, and Sid Sirewatch Pedigree Focus, brought to you by Hill and Dale, and earlier little Hong Kong JC Hong Kong Jockey Club with Dick Powell and Tyler Wissman, and thorough pace that. Is new and is worthy of your interest, and I'm just trying to get you the results from Hong Kong. Come on, you. Where's the results? What are you doing? What are you doing here? All right, I guess we're not going to know until later. Oh, it's because I'm locked out. I got you. I want to see it. So there we go. All right, very quickly. So we'll be back tomorrow, obviously. Start the handicap seriously. Oh, how about Sid? Oh no, 9-3. I thought I saw six, but it's a three. The favorite one. What are you going to do? All right. Thanks, everybody. Hope you enjoyed. Replay tomorrow, 6 to 9 here on Sirius XM, or 3 to 6, as I should start saying, Pacific time. And archive podcast and more later. It's Case. We'll talk to you tomorrow from Santa Anita Park, the great race place. Frank Miramati, Doug O'Neill, and much, much more.
SiriusXM Radio. Here in Pennsylvania, we're proud of our breeding program, the best in North America. But we're also proud to be leaders in this industry. The PA Horse Breeders Association is funding cutting-edge research at Penn Vet into equine health and safety. And we endorse the Safe Act to help protect the most vulnerable horses. Thus, we're pleased to support the aftercare programs set up by our horsemen's groups. Just a few of the reasons why you should join us in Pennsylvania, the premier place to breed and race.
Who are you betting on? How about an app created specifically for horse racing? Nairo Pets. We specialize in thundering hooves, fist pumping, boosting your bankroll with robust weekly promotions, and offer betting tips from actual horse racing experts. Bet all day and night, nationwide. Get the action and thrill of horse racing with Nairo Pets. $200 deposit match with promo Steve 200. Visit